We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning and welcome to 95.7 The Game, where, alongside the Pro Bowler Lorenzo Neal and the great Dan Dibley, I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. It is fantastic to have you in on this Wednesday morning as we get set to hammer through a great lineup of guests. We're 15 minutes away from the legend. Joe Theismann's going to swing by. Or, as he told us a year ago and confirmed a story I had been chasing forever, Dibs, it is in fact pronounced Theismann.
I don't know if I can make that change. I mean, I've been a fan for 30-something years. I'm not ready to make that switch. But if he says Theismann, I'll try my best.
The problem was that Theismann didn't rhyme with Heisman.
That's right. So,
good friend Mike Tenier, national NFL lead writer at Bleacher Report, is going to join us at 7:30. Brian Baldinger at 8:30. Alex Pavlovich at 9:30. In addition, $1,000 to give away at around, let's say, 6:58 and 7:58 this morning, as well as Green Day tickets at 8:45. Lo Neal, UCLA Bruin Blue looks very nice on you. That is a very flattering color.
Wow, Joe, you starting early this morning. You're a poet and you didn't even know it. He said UCLA blue looks very good on you. You're rhyming this morning, but thank you.
I wasn't even trying for that. Thanks for pointing that out.
Wow, good job.
Should have just let that roll and pretended like that was all part of the plan. Dibs is with apparently a Star Wars t-shirt.
No. If you look more closely, instead of being so derisive with your icy blue eyes and your handsome debonair, if you would just take a moment to look, it's Star Wards, as in Wardell Curry. And instead of C-3PO, it's SC-3O.
Oh, wow.
He's shooting the Death Star and not a basketball. One of my favorite bootleg shirts. Shout out the great listener who sent it in. I can't recall who.
It's a nice shirt, Dibs.
You know
nice
what?
Shirt.
You send me a shirt, I'll wear a shirt. That's the way it works.
You look at
Lowe and you say that. Do you really think Lowe isn't 100% on board with that philosophy?
Of course. I mean, he's got, for sure, that was a gift. And
Jim Mora, baby, right?
Absolutely. But it's interesting, Joe. Did you hear what he said? As you guys crush me, as I digest.
I haven't crushed you yet. No, I opened up with a nice amount of foreplay with you, I would say.
You did. Whoa. And it felt good.
But foreplay.
How about this guy? You guys always on me about me wearing a shirt of myself. He just acknowledged that if you send him a free shirt, he'll wear it. Someone gave me a free shirt with my face on it, and I wore it. So there you have it. Bingo.
No one's ever sent me a shirt with my face on it. So until that happens, we will never be able to put that to the test, Lorenzo.
Let's hope that doesn't happen. And anyone out there who's thinking about it, just go ahead and divert your attention to something, anything other than that. I'd wear a shirt with Dibs' face on it.
Horocious.
Would you? Really, Joe?
All right,
we've got
a big question to get to. In the light of what happened yesterday in Major League Baseball, here's a question for you. Who wins a World Series first from the following three teams? The Chicago White Sox, the Oakland A's, or the San Francisco Giants? Ponder that for a moment. Here's Dibs with your update.
Leads us right to the top story, Joe, which is the White Sox and Yankees in their big trade. It still is a good 12 days before the deadline, but the first big deal done with Todd Frazier, David Robertson, the closer, and Tommy Cainley going from Chicago off to New York for highly touted prospect Blake Rutherford, veteran reliever Tyler Clippard, two other minor leaguers. The trade deadline is still 12 days away, but the first big deal going down. Meanwhile, the A's showcasing their possible trade bait is story number two. Sonny Gray goes against Tampa Bay. Oakland fell 4-3 yesterday. Santiago Casilla gave up a couple of two-out singles in the ninth. Chris Smith's bid for a win goes by the boards. He was looking for his first win in 9 years. 11:45 dugout show today. 12:35 first pitch here on 95.7 The Game. The other Bay Area baseball team fared much better late.
On the ground, and this one is over. So the Giants won it in the 10th inning.
Dwayne Kuiper, NBC Sports, Bay Area, with the call. Eduardo Nunez, the walk-off single, driving in Connor Gillespie, who was celebrating his 30th birthday. Actually, there was a pinch runner for Gillespie, but he hit the double to allow the run to ultimately score. Ty Block goes 7 innings. Sam Dyson, though, gets the win. The update brought to you by Toyota. Wouldn't it be nice to get away this summer in the most dependable cars on the road? Right now, you can get into a new Toyota and make no payments for 90 days. Toyota, let's go places. I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the NBA champion, Golden State Warriors. It's 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, Dibs. A big day for baseball in the Bay Area. It's the Rays and the A's. First pitch scheduled today, 12:35 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. Coverage begins at 11:45 a.m. with Uncle Tony and the Dugout Show here on 95.7. It's going to be Sonny Gray versus Jacob Faria. Faria 4-0 with a 2-flat ERA this season. He's allowed one or fewer runs in 5 of his 7 starts. And as for Sonny, just 4 runs surrendered over his last 27 innings of work. That's good for an ERA during that span of 1.33. Enjoy it while you have the opportunity, because we don't know how much longer we'll see Sonny Gray taking the mound at the Coliseum. On the flip side, 10 minutes after that game starts, Indians at Giants, first pitch, 12:45. It's Matt Cain and Carlos Carrasco in the rubber match. Before we get back to the question I posed a moment ago, a lot of people upset with Santiago Casilla in the 9th inning last night, blowing that game for the A's. My question is why? Did you expect anything else to happen? Based on the way he's played over the last few years, based on the way he's pitched for the A's this season, does it surprise you at all to see an unreliable closer in the 9th inning pitch unreliably?
It is not a surprise, Joe. That's not the feeling that A's fans have. It's just disappointment, and it's double disappointment because you're just a couple of days removed from a beloved closer who, granted, is not tremendously effective in his own right, but a beloved closer nonetheless. He goes, Madsen goes, the one guy A's fans want to be gone is still here and blowing games. That's why it's a double disappointment.
It really is a disappointment, Joe. I think a lot for the fans, but can you expect that? Yes. Look no further than San Francisco Giants last year. You've seen Castilla in the same situation, and a bunch of times it happened. It got to the bad, so bad that in crucial games, the skipper wouldn't even go to him. He was crying and acting out, saying, I wish they would have looked at me in the bullpen. And this is the reason why.
Yeah, you remember that?
Do
fighting
I?
With Boach out there?
Right.
It's like, why?
Boach comes to get the ball.
Is he yanking you out because he just decided he's going to try something different? No, you can't get the job done.
Right. It wasn't like you were pitching a no-hitter, son. But come on out. Come sit with me. So, you know, I think the fans still are disappointed, though, because they would like to see situations like that. This guy's brought in the close, but and he doesn't. They would like to still see it happen, but it's not.
All right. You want to rebuild? A rebuild is taking place in Chicago, the likes of which should thoroughly both interest and impress you. Since the winter meetings of this past winter, naturally, the Chicago White Sox have turned Chris Sale, Adam Eaton, Jose Quintana, Todd Frazier, and David Robertson into 14 prospects while also signing highly touted 19-year-old Cuban outfielder Luis Robert. 4 of those prospects are currently in the top 30, including number 1 overall prospect Yoan Moncada, who was just called up to replace Frazier, who was sent to the Yankees in yesterday's trade. The White Sox have been very patient. The White Sox did not rush into a deal for Quintana last year during the winter meetings. They couldn't get what they wanted, so they waited. They struck. The Cubs gave him a big haul. They didn't rush on Todd Frazier last year. They got a big haul from the Yanks yesterday. That includes, as Dibs mentioned, highly touted top 30 prospect Blake Rutherford. This is how you go about a rebuild. You take assets and you bring in big-time talent. Patience is the most important part of the rebuild. Because what are you really going to do? Win in the next year or two? No. The Milwaukee situation is an anomaly. The reality is it's more like what you see in Philadelphia and what you saw for multiple years in Houston. Right now, we know the A's are rebuilding. Billy Beane told us as much over the weekend. And we've suspected it for the last couple years. We get the feeling the Giants are headed for a rebuild. Let me ask you, right now, point blank, who wins a World Series first? The White Sox, the A's, or the Giants?
Probably the White Sox. You look
really?
Yeah, you look at what they're doing. You see what the A's are doing. The A's are, you're looking at getting rid of a lot of the guys that was the mainstay. But for what? You're getting a bunch of young guys, prospect that you feel that has the potential that's going to get you ready to compete. Go back a couple years back. You had the Sonny Grays. You had a lot of these young guys. And now you're going through the same process of getting rid of them to say you're rebuilding again. So what came first, the chicken or the egg? So I don't think that it's going to be the A's. The Giants, they're going to try to retool this thing. But right now, without the bats, without the pitching, they're in a tough situation. Don't know if you're going to trade a guy that we love, Johnny Cueto. You saw what he was last year, but if he opts out, now you got to look, try to fill that void. You're going to trade Samardzija. What are you going to do? You don't have necessarily the stick. So you look at this team. I know they believe they're there. I know they have the mindset. But to me, not right now.
Follow us on social media, Twitter specifically, at 957thegame, and weigh in, because this is going to be a conversation throughout the day. A lot of pressure on that A's front office. If you're going to move Yonder Alonso and Sonny Gray, you better be bringing back a haul similar to what the White Sox have been doing over the last few weeks. But up next, it's a conversation with a Super Bowl champion, Joe Theismann, the MVP, on Colin Kaepernick and Michael Vick. More on that in a bit. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Let's get right to it, shall we? He's a Super Bowl champion, the 1983 NFL MVP. You can follow him on Twitter at Theismann7. It's Joe Theismann with Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Good morning, Joe. How's summer treating you?
It's treating me great, guys. How are you?
We're doing great, and it's always a pleasure to catch up with you. Thank you for your time this morning. We'll jump right into a quarterback situation that you're familiar with because, once again, it's making waves. Colin Kaepernick in the debate of what's keeping him out of the NFL. Is it his political protest, or is it his play on the field? Michael Vick had some interesting comments recently suggesting perhaps Colin get a haircut, and perhaps it's the performance on the field that's been hurting Colin's chances. Where do you land on the situation?
Well, I think in Colin's case, I think that certainly the stance that he took regarding the national anthem and the American flag certainly has, I think, affected a little bit of what the decisions might be regarding him getting a job. You have 32 owners out there that I think are concerned about what the repercussions might be if he is signed, and it's their prerogative. Just like it was his prerogative to do what he did, it's their prerogative to do what they do. And also, there's 90 positions in the quarterback position in the National Football League. He certainly is better than some of those guys. I mean, he's not the 91st guy. So maybe his performances, may not be that impressive, but he has a decent resume that under different circumstances, someone would probably give him a chance. But I do believe that it has to do with ownership being leery of what the repercussions might be based upon the stance that he took.
And you think it's based upon the stance and not necessarily based upon his look, because Michael Vick was saying that he should get a haircut and that would ostensibly solve the problem. Do you think that the protest is a separate thing completely from how he portrays himself?
His hair doesn't run and his hair doesn't throw. So, as far as that goes, I think he has the right to express himself, to wear his hair the way he wants to. I don't think that has anything to do with the way things are turning out for him as we go forward.
Joe, your boy Lo Neal here. Looking forward to seeing you in Canton. Me introducing your boy LT. Let's talk about a team that's close and dear to you, the Washington Redskins. Why weren't they able to get a deal done with Cousins?
Well, it's interesting that you asked the question, and this comes up so often. Why weren't the Washington Redskins able to get a deal with Kirk Cousins? Because Kirk Cousins didn't want a deal. That's the bottom line. I mean, it isn't. The Redskins made an offer on May 2nd with no response coming back whatsoever from Kirk's camp. Well, that has to tell you that he's not interested in doing a deal this year. What he wanted to do was he wants to play under the franchise tag. He wants to see what the suitors are going to look like next year. He wants to see what the Redskins are going to look like as a football team. Kirk is a very, very calculated, bright young man, and he analyzes situations completely. And it really didn't matter what the Redskins were going to offer. So it really isn't, why didn't the Redskins get the deal done? In any negotiation like this, it takes two parties. It takes management and it takes the players' camp. And in this case, the players' camp wasn't willing to make a commitment because they didn't want to make an offer, and all of a sudden the Redskins say yes. I think he wanted to play the year out, and that's what he's going to get a chance to do.
Super Bowl champ Joe Theismann with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Fans in San Francisco keeping a very close eye on the Cousins situation, because if he is to hit the market next year, the thought process is that Kyle Shanahan and the Niners would want to make a serious play for Cousins. Fast forward a year, if Kirk has a good season, do you see Bruce Allen using the franchise tag for a third time, or do you think San Francisco is going to have what it takes to get the deal done?
Well, San Francisco is $63 million under the cap this year. You got to figure they'll be under the cap next year. You look at their quarterback situation, you certainly think that they're going to keep an eye on it. I don't know if they necessarily want to go draft someone. Defensively, I think they're going to be a pretty good football team. Offensively, obviously, it depends on how the quarterback plays. There's no question that anybody in their right mind is going to look at the situation and say San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan there would be number one as far as what, you know, you might consider Kirk having an opportunity and a place to go. There's also the transition tag that can be placed where the Redskins will have an opportunity to match any offer. So there are different options available to the Redskins as there are to Kirk at the end of this particular season.
Ezekiel Elliott's had himself quite a long offseason, Joe. What do the Cowboys do with this young player who is facing a possible suspension from the league and continues almost on the daily to pop up in more news headlines?
Well, you know, it's interesting reading what Jerry Jones had to say, which was nothing. When Jerry doesn't have a comment on a situation, you sort of have to look at it as very serious. I think that, you know, Zeke is a young man that's trying to figure out in life what it's all about. I mean, we live in a fishbowl. You do it. I mean, your personalities, where you go, what you do, the way you act, the people you hang out with, they're all reported in this day and age. I mean, everybody has a cell phone. Everybody has a way to record something. So, you know, you're really never alone unless you're by yourself in a room. And so in Ezekiel's situation, he has a responsibility to himself, to his family, to the Dallas Cowboys, to the National Football League. And you have to make smart decisions. You know, I'm convinced that guys that wind up getting suspended just don't like money. They just don't like money. I mean, you get a 4-game suspension in the NFL, it costs a lot of money. And it doesn't take much, I think, to be able to make some good decisions. But again, you're talking about young guys who you would hope be able to make better decisions than they do. And I don't know what the situation exactly is with Zeke. All I know is that he's a heck of a football player, and the Cowboys would be, you know, a little bit behind the eight ball without him.
Joe Theismann with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. A team the Raider fans are going to be keeping a very close eye on this season, as always, the Kansas City Chiefs. But the Chiefs, in my estimation, are going to have more struggles this year than we've seen in the past. Throw out the fact that it's a tricky schedule. Andy Reid and the organization trading up to bring in Patrick Mahomes. That could create a dicey situation with Alex Smith, coupled with the fact that they just fired their general manager less than a month before the start of camp. What do you make of the Chiefs this season?
Well, there's a lot of general managers that have sort of got by the wayside. You know, Carolina just got rid of theirs. Kansas City got rid of one. The Redskins got one just before the draft. I think they're finding out that, you know, there's other ways to be able to get things done. In the case of the Kansas City Chiefs, go back 2 years, you didn't have a wide receiver catch a touchdown pass. Last year, Alex Smith threw just 16 touchdown passes. They looked at Patrick Mahomes, and they probably looked at the 2018 draft, the 2019 draft, and felt like we're going to be in a very good position to be able not to draft real low. We're a good football team. So let's see if we can get a young guy in the fold now, bring him along. And I don't think it spells anything for Alex Smith. He's still going to be the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs for at least the next couple of years. So you start to bring somebody in that you can work into the system, let him learn about professional football, let him learn the way that you want to run the offense. And then if you need him to play, that's fine. But right now, I think it's a betting on the future by the Kansas City Chiefs more than a replacement for Alex.
He's the 1983 NFL MVP, Super Bowl champion. Follow him on Twitter at Theismann7. And quite frankly, every time I see a picture of the guy, he's got the greatest tan I have ever seen in my life. Joe, I don't know how you do it, but it's Joe Theismann with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Always a pleasure, Joe. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
I'm not joking. Have you ever seen a picture where Joe Theismann wasn't absolutely golden?
Oh, he knows it. You heard him just start laughing right away.
He knows what he's doing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's probably thinking, why are you billing me a Super Bowl chant? Bill me as Super Bowl tan.
Nice.
Joe Theismann.
You just probably really got nice. Him in. You should call him back. You probably just got him an endorsement.
For what?
It's tanning lotion, buddy. It's sunscreen.
What would I know? I wear SPF 50.
Yeah, I see why.
Yeah, your boy can't really tan. Right. That's why I'm so impressed with
Theismann.
Or as Theismann, as he told the story Theismann. Once, which I find just fascinating. All right, he had some very interesting comments as it pertains to Colin Kaepernick and Michael Vick. But for those who didn't hear it yesterday, Shannon Sharp had some of the most profound statements on the situation. We're going to play that for you next and then react. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
5 days until rookies report to Napa for Oakland Raiders training camp. The date, July 24th. 8 days until both rookies and veterans report to San Francisco 49ers training camp. The date, July 27th. Welcome back. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. With football on the horizon, we're going to bring football to the forefront at 6:45 with a new little what should we say, segment that Dibs has created. Dibs, what's it called?
It's called Buttoned Up or Fly Down. Because in life, you are either buttoned up, as our man Joe likes to say, or your fly's down. And this week, I've had experiences in my own personal life of both. We'll go around the NFL and see who is buttoned up and who's got their fly down.
Where were you when you got caught with your fly down?
It was a couple days ago. It was over the weekend. I was out with my 16-year-old, and I had recently gone to the facility and used it, and I was not buttoned up. My fly was down, and some nice lady said, sir, your fly's down. And I, oh, thanks, ma'am, and quick zip up, whoop. And I looked over at my 16-year-old. He's like, oh, my dad is such a tool.
Keep that horse in the barn, dude.
Such
Keep that
tool.
Horse in the barn.
More of a Shetland pony, quite frankly. To use your line. Thank you. Thank you for the zipper.
All right, so we're going to get into that at 6:45. Very football heavy, as is this segment, but on more of a serious note. Now, you can say what you want about some of the programming that has been rolled out on ESPN and Fox in recent memory. You can say what you want about Skip Bayless and various talking heads. Have an opinion. You're entitled to it. Shannon Sharp, who appears on, what's the show even called, to be honest with you? The Skip Bayless Show. Undisputed. Thank you very much.
That's a bad sign that it's been on 6 months and you don't know the name of it.
Well, I know the guys who are on it, and sure. I've seen some of it. I don't really pay attention to the names.
Well, Joe,
I don't know.
I have an excuse for taking all the hits. What's yours?
I don't have one. I'd love to give you a reason why I didn't have that right now. Lack of preparation.
He may have taken a lot of hits himself, Lowe.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Come on. Don't get me into trouble this early.
We'll just let that hang out.
That was nice.
Thank you. That's how we do it.
He's a clever one.
He's sneaky.
Like those raptors in Jurassic Park. I want you to take a listen, though, because Richard Deitch from Sports Illustrated thinks this might be the best segment Shannon Sharp has had on TV since he's made the transition onto TV. This is Shannon Sharp on Michael Vick's comments regarding Colin Kaepernick.
No, he doesn't have a point. And what Michael Vick just did was continually perpetuate a stereotype that blacks that look a certain way, dressed a certain way, should be judged a certain way. What does Colin Kaepernick's hair have to do with anything? He need to reform his image from what some of the media and even Michael Vick has convinced himself that what Colin Kaepernick did by taking a knee was equal to, if not worse, than what Michael Vick went to prison for. Michael, you went to prison. You are a convicted felon. You needed to change your image. Colin Kaepernick took a knee. What is the image that he needs to portray? I don't get it. From Michael Vick, you would think, Skip, of all the guys that would understand this man's plight. Michael Vick went to prison for 18 months. He missed 2 years in the NFL. Michael Vick didn't have to tell anybody that he wanted to play again. And it just so happens there's more coincidence than what we really thought. Because guess how old Michael Vick was when he signed with the Philadelphia Eagles? 29.
Shannon Sharp yesterday on FS1 regarding Michael Vick's comments on Colin Kaepernick. Powerful stuff, Lo. Powerful stuff.
Very, very powerful, Joe. And I was nice when I, you know, yesterday when I talked about and alluded to, and we all did, said Michael Vick has a story and he's been through a lot and we forgave. He wasn't killing dogs. They were getting murdering dogs, fighting. What he did was unthinkable and wasn't a one-time thing. It wasn't two or three hundreds. We don't know how many dogs. He was killing them, burying them in the backyard if they were lame, putting them down. What he did was criminal and he paid his time and we forgave. So when you hear a guy like that, you know, it kind of just vexed me by hearing Michael Vick, who's been through a lot, who's helping a lot of people. But to put Colin in that type of light that, hey, he needs to change his image, shave his hair and do this stuff. You don't conform like that. Now, if he wants to say, hey, Colin Kaepernick needs to take a stance to say, hey, look, I'm going to own this. I'm going to tell you the guys the reason why, but why I'm going to put it behind me. But I'm still going to do outreach and help people that can't help themselves. But look, I'm focused on playing football. If he wants to come out and tell that's what Colin Kaepernick needs to do, go on ESPN or go on Fox, go on those things and explain. And after that, say, look, I'm not talking about this again because I want owners and ownership to know that I'm not kneeling, but I am going to still help behind the scenes. But I want to play football. I'm 1,000% behind my craft. I love this game. I love this game, but I'm ready to turn the page and really focus my career, and that is playing in the National Football League. That, if you want to say that's cleaning up image, no, that's just coming out and saying where my heart is, where my desire is, and where my earning power is in the National Football League, and I'm committed to that. That's what he needs to do. But far as cutting the hair and all this stuff, it's really, really, that was really, Michael Vick really used a poor, poor choice of words, and it had nothing to do or any bearing on why Colin Kaepernick is not in the National Football League.
Dibs, between what Vick said, what Lowe's saying, and what you heard from Shannon Sharp yesterday on FS1, where do you land on this?
I think that Shannon Sharp was absolutely spot on, and I think Michael Vick has to be careful when he starts to cast judgments or cast these sort of decisions on other players, considering what he went through and what he's done. Shannon's right. He is a convicted felon. That doesn't mean he can't have an opinion or weigh in, but to say that Colin Kaepernick needs to cut his hair, basically drawing the parallel to what he had to go through to get back, I think is unfair to Colin Kaepernick, because this is a guy who didn't do anything wrong. Whether or not it was smart for his career arc, that's a different debate
right, entirely.
But
sure,
he's a guy who stood up for what he believed. He did it nonviolently. He helped to draw attention to a movement that desperately needed attention drawn to it. And whether or not it was career suicide is a different story. I think it was career suicide, but it wasn't a crime like dog fighting and killing dogs certainly was.
And I think Michael Vick, not only in some, and I think in the black community, he lost a lot of street cred yesterday, Joe. He really did. And I'll be frank with you, McCann. People say, oh, no, he didn't. He said it was right. No, he didn't. He lost a lot of street cred. He lost a lot of credibility. And I think that people look at Michael Vick in a certain way now of ignorance.
Is it possible? And this is just a question. This isn't me taking a stance in any way, shape, or form. I want to make that clear. Just a question. Is it possible that all Vick was doing with the haircut comment was simply trying to offer a piece of advice, and perhaps because we're looking for things to discuss both on TV, on the internet, on radio, that maybe there's been a bit of an overreaction? Not saying that's what I believe, just asking, is it possible Vick was just trying to hand out a piece of advice and we are overreacting to it?
Definitely. It's what we do now. And I'm going to overreact to you saying that we're overreacting.
I'm going to overreact to that.
That's what happens
right now.
We all have hot takes and every little micro statement gets broken down inside and out. And there's radio shows and TV shows from coast to coast and everybody's looking for content. And this is certainly hot content, but Michael Vick certainly, to Lowe's point, should have chosen other words or other ways to describe what Colin Kaepernick needs to do to improve himself. To just say he needs to cut his hair like that comes across the wrong way.
I think Michael Vick, what he missed the point is, by cutting your hair and doing those things, you're conforming to the perception
instead of reality. And Michael Vick really missed that, because now you got to realize there's a huge amount of people out there to say, look, be natural. Do the things that you want to do. Understand Stephen A. Smith has hair. His hair is longer than most blacks, kind of the afro, but he keeps it nice and groomed. If Michael Vick doesn't understand when you say, oh, cut your hair, do this, he was saying conform to what everyone believes, not everyone, but a huge amount of white people believe how black people should look, what black people should carry on. That's what he did. He opened that can of worms. And when you're saying, was he trying to say something nice? I think his bad choice of words, but not just that, Joe, when he says, oh, it's Av, and also his play. He has in the last 2 years, he's played horrible. But when you look at the numbers and you look at all the other quarterbacks, Theismann came on the show, talked about 90 quarterbacks that are out there. This guy's probably top 40 quarterbacks. He's probably that 40th or beyond, or maybe even higher.
Which two per team is 64 quarterbacks, so the math says he should have a job.
That's the point.
Well done, boys. Well done indeed. We will follow that up with the debut of something Dibs has cooking. It's called Button Up or Fly Down. I guarantee you won't want to miss it. Perhaps guarantee is a strong word. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back, Joe Lowe, Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Some very interesting NBA nuggets to get to in about 12 minutes at the top of the hour, 7 o'clock. And 10 minutes from now, we've got $1,000 to give away. The 4K a day cash contest is back. 10 minutes from now, we're giving away a dime. We'll give away another dime at about 7:58, and we've got Green Day tickets to give away at 8:45. Now, the segment's new. It's a bit of an experiment. It's a Dan Dibley creation, or if we were to borrow from Spike Lee, it's a Dan Dibley joint.
Thank you.
Thank you. A variety of things.
A little early for a Dan Dibley joint, but but I digest.
What are we calling this, Dibs? Explain this to the listeners.
This is buttoned up or fly down, because every day in life, you're either buttoned up, you've got everything in place, as you like to say, or essentially your fly's down. You're showing your wares inappropriately, and you don't have your blank together. So we're going to look at the NFL teams. We're going to see if they are buttoned up or if, in fact, your fly's open.
Like you earlier this week.
Like 3 days a week. I tend to have issues with the zip up. The zip down's not a problem. The zip up, I have issues.
All right, so we've got five teams to get to. It's button up or fly down. How about a little music, boys, if you don't mind? Ooh, I didn't realize we were going to go NFL music. Thank you. This training camp is right around the corner. Can you dig it? All right, team number one in buttoned up or fly down. Lorenzo Neal, we will begin with you because you played football. I don't know if anyone knows that. Team number one, button up or fly down, the Carolina Panthers.
Carolina Panthers are fly down. They're not buttoned up at all. You just fire your GM and you got D'Angelo talking about he was a snake. Let the snake out in the field or cut his neck off. It was absolutely amazing. The parting shots that all the players gave this GM, I don't think they're buttoned up at all. They fly me down.
Tough to argue with that, Joe. I mean, all the players, the former players coming out and celebrating the news of the GM firing, that's not a good look. And you fire GM 9 days before camp starts?
Dab on
them,
folks.
That can't be the right way to proceed.
No, it absolutely can't. Dib, so you're saying they are?
Oh, fly down, without a doubt. Fly down.
Ooh, beautiful stuff.
Double fly down.
Team number two. Now, it's going to get a little trickier. Okay. Low, buttoned up or fly down, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Ooh, the Pittsburgh Steelers. When I hear Big Ben talking about, hey, look, man, I need you to be buttoned up. He's already calling guys out, telling the receivers, I need you to be more buttoned up. You should have handled things a different way. And then you hear the receiver come back and say, me and Big Ben need to sit face to face and face each other. I hope they don't draw down and shoot each other. But I tell you right now, this team, their fly is down. I don't know if the Pittsburgh Steelers have what it takes. You see all the discard that's going on there. Le'Veon Bell was tweeting out, talking about he's in Miami before his franchise tag was going to expire. There's all kind of stuff that's going on there. I don't know. I think that they fly be a little bit down, Dibs.
I got to disagree with you, Lo. I would say that this team is buttoned up. You know, Le'Veon Bell, franchise tag, he wanted a longer-term deal. He's not going to get it. Ben Roethlisberger is proactively calling guys out, saying, you know what? You had better button up. They've got the kind of team that is AFC championship contending, one of the three or four best teams in the AFC. I don't think they've got any problems. They're buttoned up.
Why do you think you said you could button it up then?
Team,
why do you think you said that?
Number three. Lorenzo Neal, buttoned up or fly down, the Washington Redskins.
Oh, come on, Joe. You heard the GM, the new guy coming in and was calling him Kirka, whatever he was trying to pronounce, but he sounds worse than me trying to jerkatize. And as I digest and digress and whatever we be saying on the show, that was kind of a slap in the face to Kurt saying, look, I don't even know your name. So if you're not going to sign this contract, you see Kirk Cousins saying, look, I'm better than that. I don't want to sign this contract. You heard Theismann come in and say he's betting on himself. And you always talk about the quarterback position. It's a very vital place in the National Football League, a very, very important spot on any team. I don't think this team is buttoned up. I think their fly is going to be down.
I think that you're wrong again. I think they're buttoned up. They handled Kirk Cousins as they needed to on a one-year deal. They didn't overextend for a quarterback who may or may not be the long-term answer there. I think with that position now shored up, at least for the season, they know where they're going to be for this upcoming year. They can focus on maybe drafting a quarterback next year. Washington's a team that's probably not going to contend for the Super Bowl this year, but you didn't throw too much money at Kirk Cousins. I like the choice they made. They're buttoned up.
Team number four. One thing to keep in mind, though, before we get to that. Ask yourself this if you think the Redskins are that dysfunctional. Kirk Cousins, 2 years, $43.8 million when it's all said and done, right? No more obligation. Joe Flacco, last year and this year, $47 million, but the Ravens are still on the hook for two more years and $45 million after that. Then they have an out. Which situation would you rather be in?
Wow.
Team number four, Lorenzo Neal, buttoned up or fly down. The defending NFC East champions, the number one seed in the National Football Conference, the Dallas Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys, wow. Are they buttoned up? Hell no, they're not buttoned up. You got seven defensive starters that are no longer there. You got guys leaving. That defense is going to be like a merry-go-round. One get on, one get off. It's going to be absolutely, I think, it's going to be, you know, that place in Tijuana. I'm looking at this team. I think their fly is down. When you look at what's going on with Zeke Elliott, a guy who was rookie of the year, can't stay out of trouble. Things are going surrounding him. He may be facing suspension for two games, maybe even more. Rodgers going to let the hammer fly on this team. I know it's America's team, but I really believe this team has their fly down, and I think heads are going to roll after this season.
You might as well keep the zipper rolling because, Lo, you laid it out absolutely perfectly. This team is fly down 100%. Such a great year last year. The quarterback, Dak Prescott, likely going to regress to the mean and his ability where it likely will be. And Ezekiel Elliott, he's going to probably miss a game, maybe two, and he's got these ongoing legal things that keep nipping at him. He's primed for a down year as well, and you mentioned all the new defensive players they're going to have. I think it's going to be a long year in Big D.
Don't be surprised if the Dallas Cowboys start 0-3. Home against the Giants, Eli Manning owns that stadium. Game number two at Denver, game number three at Arizona. They could be 0-3, and that's all the country will be talking about as it pertains to the NFL. Prescott will wilt under the pressure. Garrett will get fired.
Carrot. Get it right, Fortenbaugh.
On this program, he is Jason Carrot.
Garrett.
Team number five, buttoned up or fly down, Lorenzo Neal, Bruce Arians and the Arizona Cardinals.
Well, Joe, you just alluded to that this team is going to play the Dallas Cowboys week number three. The Cowboys can start off 0-3. And who's that third game? The Arizona Cardinals. So that means they're buttoned up. Why? Bruce Arians understand his time on this great earth is limited. We all are. He understands the quarterback he has is aging. This is that year, the make it or bust it, you break it year. I really believe this team is going to win that conference over there. Yes, unseating the Seattle Seahawks. I really believe they're buttoned up.
Button up. Yeah, I think you're right. They are buttoned up, but it's one of those buttons where the thread is really, really loose. So when you go to button it, you got to make sure.
Be gentle
when you button up, because that thread in the form of old number three, Carson Palmer, he's just one tug on the button away from having that button pop up or pop open, rather. And then it's not a fly open situation, but you do have some button issues. But for now,
pants on the ground.
I think looking like a fool with your pants on the ground. Right now, I'm going to go with you, Lo, but I've got an eye toward this fly zipping open. But right now, I would say, Joe, They're buttoned up. Button up. I love it.
And so concludes the first installment of Buttoned Up or Fly Down. Nicely done, gentlemen. As we look to put a bow on things relatively quickly, let's go locally. The Oakland Raiders. How do you see them, Lo?
I think they're buttoned up. It's going to be interesting to see what happens here before training camp with a young rookie, unsigned yet. But I really believe we hear about in the offseason, no one's getting in trouble. Your quarterback just got done. Gabe Jackson, I think one of the best guards, top three guards in the league, buttoned up.
Dibs.
Absolutely buttoned up. But the Gary and Conley question, I think, is the only thing that could possibly spring this button off the clasp.
The San Francisco 49ers.
They're buttoned up. You see what they're doing. They're making nice moves, not being too aggressive. I like what they're doing.
Flies down, Joe. You're still a two-win team. Now, you're fixing the zipper. It's one of those zippers where you zipped it all the way down so hard that it kind of broke and split open. But you bring in Shanahan and Lynch. You cinch the bottom together so you can start to zip that thing back up.
It's now time for the 4K a day cash contest. Here's your chance to win $1,000. Text the code word PEACE, as in peace and love, P-E-A-C-E, to 72881. That's 72881. Message and data rates apply. Well, more good news for the Golden State Warriors. That in a flash. Don't go anywhere. Joe, Lo, and Dibs, 95.7, The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.